It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Today on the show, abandoned places.
I remember walking through some villages where you look through the windows and there are still shoes near the door. There's still books next to the bed. There's still a child's toy on the floor. There's so many remnants of the lives that were left on very short notice.
For nearly four decades, ever since the nuclear disaster in Chernobyl, the surrounding 30-kilometer radius, known as the exclusion zone, has mostly been empty of human life.
It's kind of this odd mixture of very surreal abandoned homes and abandoned lives.
But there are other inhabitants.
You keep going, and then in this one house that is very vivid to me, I remember a nest of a family of boar that had made residence in the front porch of one of these houses. And it was very obvious that while humans at one time decades ago lived in this place, now the boar were living in this same structure, creating this place for their family and to safely bed at night.
This is Kara Love. She's an integrative biologist and was visiting Chernobyl regularly to study the animals that are flourishing there.
So if you're walking through the zone, you'll probably see Eurasian bison, Eurasian moose, all sorts of bird life. And, you know, we got really lucky one year and actually saw two Eurasian lynx just driving around to our wolf sites.
Wolf sites. Kara and her colleagues are specifically researching the area's apex predator, the gray wolf. These wolves have been thriving here, despite constant and intense exposure to radiation.
Some of the wolves are exposed to upwards of like three chest x-rays a day worth of radiation per individual. On the most extreme, but still pretty significant for the long-term chronic exposure over an entire lifetime. You know, I had always had questions of what impacts the radiation might have on population dynamics. And Shane was just a perfect collaborator to bring on to add that element of evolution and natural selection and ask these questions together.
And I think that has made this collaboration so incredible.
Shane Campbell-Staton is an evolutionary biologist. And in 2019, Kara recruited him to help answer a big question. How have these wolves genetically adapted to survive all this radiation?
Because we know that the wolves in Chernobyl have been there at this point for about seven or eight generations. So they've been exposed their entire lives to this novel pressure. And by understanding how natural selection has gone about molding organisms to still be able to survive and reproduce, by studying that process, it may lead us to new insights.
Shane has spent his entire career studying how species evolve to adapt to human behavior, including in Chernobyl, which is unlike anything he's ever seen before.
A pup that's born in the Chernobyl exclusion zone, from day one, it's being exposed to radiation from the environment. And that pup will live half a decade or more. Yeah, and each day be continually exposed to that radiation. On top of that, these wolves, they're getting another dose of radiation from each meal that they eat.
Wow.
And a concentrated dose because they're apex predators, right? So they're eating European bison that, you know, then ate grass and other vegetation that was infused with radiation. And we know that radiation causes lots of damage to the mammalian body.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question, but are some of these wolves living with cancer?
So that is one thing that we're exploring right now. What we do know is that when you look at their blood and you look at the immune profiles of their blood, they show patterns that you would expect from a person with cancer.
Hmm.
You know, so now all of a sudden, if you're interested in that specific question, how would a mammalian genome change in order to become more resistant or resilient to cancer? That's the kind of stage that you would want to set up in order to understand that.
Hmm.
And as tragic, absolutely tragic as the Chernobyl incident was, we do have an opportunity to learn something of potentially incredible value from the aftermath of it.
From a tragic event to a rare opportunity, when people move on, there is loss. But there is also a chance for renewal if we make the most of what gets left behind. On this episode, stories about abandoned places and ideas for transforming them into resilient economies, cities, and even a thriving species. So back to evolutionary biologist Shane Campbell Staton. He says the gray wolf's ability to withstand so much radiation is just one example of evolution unfolding at a breakneck pace. Here he is on the TED stage.
Now, when Charles Darwin, my man Chuck D, when he first proposed this theory, when he first proposed the theory of evolution, he imagined it as this slow, gradual process that played out over thousands or millions of years. But now, in the face of all the different changes that we are making to the planet, we're finding that evolution is rapidly altering species around our planet in order to live alongside us. And many of these stories of rapid evolution are sad, but some also offer us hope for our own future on this planet. In nature's struggle to deal with all the nonsense that we're throwing at her in all these different ways, some of those solutions may lead us to novel insights that may help our bodies deal with things that we currently struggle with that will allow us to survive all the different changes that we're making on this planet.
So Shane, the novel insights you're talking about here, you are looking into what is happening to these wolves' genes and if they've evolved to resist cancer. What have you found?
Okay, yes. So when we sequenced the genomes of the wolves in Chernobyl, we compared them to wolves, a wolf population right outside of the exclusion zone in Belarus, and also the wolf population in Yellowstone, which is really far away. All right, so we have these three populations, and the question was, like, if there's something special happening in Chernobyl, then whatever genes may help some individuals better deal with cancer than others, the hypothesis is that those regions should be changing in Chernobyl and only Chernobyl at a very fast rate. You know, and we identified those patterns and identified those genes, and then you look at the function of those genes, and they're all related to some part of to some aspect of cancer biology. And most of those genes have some known function in immunity or in the anti-tumor immune response or in immune phenotypes.
Now, we know a lot about the genes and mutations that are responsible for many cancers or make an individual more predisposed to getting cancer. We know a lot less about potential genetic mutations or variation that may make an individual more resistant or more resilient to cancer. But perhaps nature has already found the solution. And one of the things that our data are showing us is that the fastest changing regions of the Chernobyl wolf genome occur in and around genes that we know are involved in cancer or in the mammalian anti-tumor immune response. Now, we're now working with biomedical companies and cancer biologists to understand the physiological impacts of these mutations with the hope that at least some of these changes may lead us to novel therapeutics that might result in new treatments for cancer in humans.
Okay, so let me see if I understand. The wolf genome in Chernobyl is mutating like crazy. And the parts of the genome that are mutating the fastest are the ones that show some kind of immunity to cancer. So is it like whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Yeah, so evolution and adaptation, they're not planning on anything. It's a reactive process. So you get thrown some kind of a curveball, and whatever you have in hand is what you have to deal with it. And if you can come up with a solution that makes you slightly better, you know, then selection will run with it. In this case, the most likely scenario is that within Chernobyl, there's some degree of standing variation in these genes that affect the way that they interact with cancer formation or cancer proliferation or metastasis. And some of those mutations, you know, are better at dealing with those things than others. In this particular environment, exposed to this novel pressure and extreme pressure, somehow we see that the ability to deal with something biologically that maybe no other organism is able to deal with in the same way. We don't know enough yet to really understand, but it's clear that something special is happening.
Shane and his colleague Kara Love are hoping to get more data from the wolves, but the war in Ukraine has kept their teams from spending more time in the region and learning more about what the implications could be for humans.
Someday, hopefully, when we're able to gain access or when my colleagues in Belarus are able to go back into the zone again, we'll be able to really fine-tune that question a bit more. But unfortunately, it's still a question yet to be fully answered.
When we come back, from wolves to elephants. More with evolutionary biologist Shane Campbell-Staton about how humans are speeding up evolution and how nature is responding. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Stay with us. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and on the show today, abandoned places. And we were just talking to evolutionary biologist Shane Campbell-Staton about how animals can adapt when humans radically change their natural habitat.
The one pretty much universal thing about humans is we don't know how to do anything a little bit. So whatever we do to an absurd degree, which means like we're changing environments very quickly to an absurd degree in all of these different dimensions. And that rapid environmental change, you know, if it affects the ability of the organisms that live in an environment to survive, function, and reproduce, that necessitates a pace of evolutionary change that can track the environment, or, you know, you risk extinction.
Shane has also been studying how some African elephants have adapted in response to poaching. Here he is again on the TED stage.
In Mozambique, there was a civil war from 1977 to 1992. During this time in Ngorongosa National Park, elephants in particular were reduced by 90% because of the ivory trade being targeted for their trademark tusks. Now, under most circumstances, African elephants have tusks, but there is a small number of females that carry a gene that prevents them from growing their tusks. But after the Mozambican Civil War, one half of the surviving females completely tuskless. Now, during a time where individuals are being hunted specifically for a trait, not having that trait puts you at a decided advantage in your ability to survive. Those surviving females then went on and passed that gene on to many of their daughters. That turnover of genes across generations, that is rapid evolution. In our short time on this planet, we have trimmed, trained, and reshuffled the tree of life at breakneck speed. Now, I've dedicated my life to trying to understand the lasting biological impacts of our human footprint. One of the things that I've learned along the way is that life is a paradox. It's simultaneously incredibly fragile and relentlessly resilient.
One of the things you say in your talk, this line really just stuck with me, which is that life is incredibly fragile, yet also simultaneously incredibly resilient.
Yeah, so, you know, we are just too much for most species to handle. And you see that fragility in, you know, the long list of extinctions that came along with the rise of humans. You know, so in that case, it's like life is a paradox, right? It is fragile and it needs to be cared for. But at the same time, it does find all of these imaginative, innovative, completely surprising, quirky, weird ways to eke through, you know, when need be. I think it's easy to, you know, to see hope in these stories. And I think that's actually a good thing. But I think it is a mistake and short-sighted to then sort of shirk off responsibility. The world is going to be, from now on, what we make it. The story isn't over. And right now, we are the drivers of that story.
That was Princeton professor and evolutionary biologist Shane Campbell-Staton. He's also the host of a PBS documentary series called Human Footprint. You can see his full talk at TED.com. Many thanks to his colleague, integrative biologist Kara Love.